Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka, welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio is South Africa's Minister of Social Development, Botebile Dlamini, who I will briefly introduce. Minister Dlamini was appointed Minister of Social Development in November 2010, having served as Deputy Minister for the same portfolio since May 2009. As a Member of Parliament in the National Assembly, she sat on the Parliamentary Portfolio Committees for Correctional Services and subsequently Social Development. From 1998 to 2008, she held the position of General Secretary in the ANC Women's League. And on the academic front, she holds a BA in Social Studies from the University of Zululand. Welcome to the show, Minister.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
It's such a pleasure to have you join us. Minister, you hold vast experience in social development. From 1994 through to 2004, as a Member of Parliament, you served in the Social Development Portfolio Committee. You were Deputy Minister of Social Development from May 2009 up until October 2010. You were appointed as Minister of Social Development in November 2010 and reappointed to this post in our national elections on the 26th of May 2014. Can you please share with us, is it your strong sense of duty or your passion for this field that has kept you for more than 20 years in this portfolio?
I think it's passion. We have to perform our duties to the best of our ability. More particularly, if you are a woman, you have to make things happen and work four times more than a man before you are recognized. But I think I've not been driven by wanting to prove myself. The most important thing is that I want to ensure that everyone feels comfortable, more particularly children. But also, I think some of us have been growing with, have seen social development changing gradually.
It's been an evolving process.
Yes, because when we were elected as MPs in 1994, there were 10 departments. The national one, there were more than 10 actually. And then provinces, as well as the TPVC states. So there were many departments that had to be integrated. And then secondly, we were welfare and population development. And then thereafter, the ruling party said we must take a developmental approach. So it should not be only welfare. It should be about welfare, social security, and integrated development. Also, one of the most exciting times was when grants were introduced, because they were only received by plus minus 3 million people.
And I believe in October where it's 16 million are receiving grants,
yes,
in South Africa.
Yes, more than 16 million. And what is important is that 11 million is children. And that says that we are moving forward towards fighting poverty and trying to ensure that our children are grown up properly. But one other element that has come in that is going to make a spectacular improvement is early childhood development, because a government has decided to take over early childhood development. It's going to be a public good. There are many things we are trying to change as we grow as government, because we have an experience of 20 years, which gives us an opportunity to change the way we were doing things.
I think that experience has really played through, and it shows in that entire development of where we are today, 20 years later, after our first democracy. Mm. Now, Minister, you've been in the business of politics for a long time now. Can you please share with us a few of the landmarks in your career and when you understood that politics was a big part of your destiny?
I think if I look back, I was part of the youth club in my church in Pietermaritzburg, and we were very active. And we then decided to form a Imbali youth organization with the help of those that understood politics. And then we formed our organization, which became an affiliate of the United Democratic Front. And then what was different about our organization is that it had sister organizations like COSAS at the time and SANS CoR in universities. And we worked with the civic organizations. So even at school, high school level, there was activism. At home, activism. Even institution of higher learning, university, there was activism. So it was a full or all-round life. You did not take a break because you were at university or you were at home, there was a break.
So it was integrated in everything.
Yes, it was a part of us. And I must say there were difficult times. And we did get support from well-respected members of the community. Some of them are no longer here with us.
And so there was strong support for the youth?
Yes, in the community. And very, very strong support, not just a weak support, but also we worked with people that believed in understanding politics. People like Skumbuzo Ngwenya, Son of Man Thusi, they ensured that we understood what politics was. And that we were not the only ones who were struggling. There were women who were part of the struggle, but the ANC was an internationalist organization. It had support throughout the world, sanctions and everything. Again, there were women who were hiding former MK members in their houses, and our leadership, Oliver Tambo, were busy out of the country mobilizing the whole world to understand our struggle. So I think if we did not have that opportunity, we would not be where we are today. Understanding of the Freedom Charter, but also just simple things. When we were in our meetings, we would read the newspaper and explain and have discussions and very robust debate on the issues. And that assisted us to deepen our understanding of, firstly, how to discuss and debate, agree to disagree. That makes
it sensitive.
Yes.
And very challenging.
Yes. And sometimes you would read about Thandi Modise, who gave birth in prison, Nomvula Mokonyane, who was arrested with a baby. You will hear about Baleka Mbete, Kosazane Dlamini Zuma, Mam Shope, Mam Sperepere, Ruth Mampati, and more particularly when it was the year of women, because the ANC once declared a year as a year of women. And that showed commitment by the leadership of the ANC to women's emancipation. At the beginning, women came to cook in the meetings of the ANC. And then later, you have those that had the capacity of ensuring that as some were recruited to the ANC, like Mam Charlotte Maxeke, the first president of the Bantu Women's League, which was a front runner of the ANC Women's League.
She sounded like a woman who was well ahead of her times in her day.
Oh, yes.
Very advanced with her thinking.
She was very, very much advanced. The thought of forming an organization, because the ANC was formed in 1912, and then I think in 1913 she said, there is no way we're going to remain behind. We have to form an organization. And more particularly because women, in their nature, they are managers. They can multitask. They strategize and implement.
We will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
If you've just tuned in, today we're talking to South Africa's Minister of Social Development, Ms. Batabile Dlamini. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, picking up on our discussion.
Minister, when we're talking about leadership, and we know that from an ANC point of view that it has been very strong in having its 50-50 men and women, is women's representation and growing female leadership in your ministries one of the priorities on your agenda?
It is. It's one of my priorities. I must also say that it's a difficult mission.
Can you elaborate?
In departments, people that are senior are men. And then you try and bring up women. And sometimes you see that, this woman is not given an opportunity. And that has actually made me to try and ensure that the next layer of leadership in the department is a woman. I believe in mixing people. Those that are out of the system must work with those that are in the system, and you must pull them up together. More particularly in social development, you do need people that are not social workers, because work there is strenuous.
And you have a very diverse portfolio.
It is very diverse. And one other thing that I've learned is that you are a woman does not mean that you are an activist and believe in gender equality. Others are just about positions, and they always dangle a carrot in front of us because they want more money. Others are very much committed. So others get elected, get appointed, and they don't do justice. They look at their friends, not at the ones that perform to the best of their ability. So those are all the things you have to look into, and sometimes be firm. And also when it comes to issues of gender equality, you have to, I think 2 years ago, I organized a dinner for men in the leadership just to come and talk to them and say, you cannot do this and this and this and that. And then what we are organizing right now is a gender cause for them.
Gender cause for men?
For men. We have to start at some level so that they understand when they do their work, because our work has a lot to do with gender, children, women, vulnerable groups. So they have to understand these issues, because they help you to be sensitive and know how to handle some of the issues.
Minister, you spoke briefly about gender equality, and I think that gender equality is increasingly a global focus. And South Africa's Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill, it's currently undergoing consultation and review, obviously with the new ministry in place. But in principle, its aim is to promote and achieve equality for women across the board. What are your perspectives, and do you think that legislation can improve gender gaps?
Let me start by saying what we have today was fought for. Women were part of the struggles. It's not something that we got from the train.
We earned it.
Yes. Women fought from all fronts. In the country, somewhere in the army, Lindiwe Zulu, Ayanda Lolo, Nosiviwe Maphisanqakula, and others. They were there in the trenches. So it's not a favor. Others died and refusing to give information to the police. Very young women. So it's not a present. It's something that we fought for. Now, when we talk about gender equality, there is always a mistake of, firstly, those that think that women have to be empowered before they occupy positions, and when they are not empowered to occupy positions. So it's like they were cut for positions or were cut to take a responsibility of some of the issues. And I think what is happening in the country presently is that the new dispensation has come up with women that belong to the middle class and those that are the elite. But you have the majority of the women very poor. And that is why social development, human settlement, water, electricity, education, agriculture, land, and many other departments that just focus on women, and they deliver services that enable women to be free, that enable women to take decisions about themselves. For instance, early childhood development, that gives women an opportunity to take decisions about whether they want to work or not. Issues of health rights, you take a decision about whether you want a child or not.
Well, I know, for instance, UNICEF have done several studies, and one of the things that I recall was that they said that from an education point of view, for an additional year of schooling that a girl's placed in school, that she receives, from an income point of view, a 10% increase on what she can expect to receive. She has greater control in terms of her family rights, the number of children that she chooses, and the children that she bears grow up to be more benefited from her experiences and from her education, from health and other benefits.
Now, what is important is to ensure that we radically transform the lives of ordinary women, as the president has said. And those are the women that are going to ensure that our children are not poor moving forward. But also, you cannot be able to fight your struggles for gender equality on an equal footing as long as the majority of women want practical gender needs. Practical water. There must be water at home. There must be electricity at home so that I can cook for my children. And I must have a kitchen. What you see elite women say, a woman's place is not in the kitchen. And ordinary women still want a kitchen. So we need to focus on those women. Those that have specific gender needs are also impatient. But what is most important are ordinary women, because they are on the ground, they look after children, and they bear the brunt of poverty. And the face of poverty is a woman. So I strongly believe that much as we can make laws, they must be implementable. And they must go hand in hand with norms and standards. And communities must be mobilized to understand the laws so that they work for them. I look at a woman, but also I know that a man are part of the society. And what is responsible is that we must not always be the ones who talk about a violence. They must also at some stage say, not in my name.
To take ownership.
Yes.
We will be right back after this.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro Soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Today we're talking to South Africa's Minister of Social Development, Minister Dlamini. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now continuing with our discussion. Are there any specific objectives that you want to achieve this term?
This term, I would like to see social development being accessible to the poor, and that I want to see our work integrated
across the different government departments.
Yes, I want to see strong programs of alcohol and substance abuse, because this is killing our nation, it is killing our children. And it's like someone stood there and said, South Africa, experience this so that you can never move forward. I see it as an attack, and as a serious attack to the struggles of Nelson Mandela, Oliver Tambo, Lillian Ngoyi, Wilton Mkwai, Harry Gwala, and all other leaders, Solomon Mahlangu, who fought for the liberation of our country. It's a big insult, because they never had their youth dedicated.
They sacrificed their lives for the sake of the country.
Yes, so young people must do the same. See how they contribute towards improving the quality of lives of our people. Yes, transformation is always a difficult period, but we must all ask ourselves what we can do for our country. Also, issues of violence against women and children. But I think my pet subject has always been early childhood development, because the apex priority of this government or administration is education. So if you prepare children from birth, by the time they are at grade 12, they are able to stand on their own. And also the research that has been done by other countries says children that start at an early childhood development level are very strong. They are able to differentiate between wrong and right, and just their style of living is far different from those who did not go to ECD. My younger brothers went to ECD and I didn't, and you can see the difference between me and my younger brother. So even the way they read, the way they talk, the way they are able to think and drill things down shows that long ago they were advantaged. Puzzles, squares, shapes, and everything. We never went through that. We just started at first year, started writing without having practiced, and be expected to write your name without having written it before. So ECD is my pet subject.
Now, Minister, turning back to your political career, you served as Secretary General of the ANC Women's League from 1998 to 2008, and that's one of the longest-serving Secretary Generals for the ANC Women's League. Can you please share with us what impacted you the most during that term?
I think firstly, I am humbled by the confidence that women put on me And when I was elected, I think I was very young. I remember when I started working in the office, Mom Adelaide Tambo came to me. I was wearing a tight, a blue tight and a top, a t-shirt. And she came to me to say, look, you are the Deputy Secretary General now. You can't come to work like this. And I said, I looked at her and then she said, what if we have international guests? What are they going to say about you? That in itself brought a big change in me. I wasn't wearing earrings. I wasn't carrying a handbag. They just changed my life. And with Mom Bertha Nosiviwe, Mom Winnie, but also I had a great opportunity of working with great women leaders of this country who also were always prepared to take me through the processes of the ANC, but also help me to understand women's issues at a sophisticated level. Because sometimes you would think you understand women's issues when you don't understand them. Some of the things I learned is that if you are the Secretary General, you're like an engine of the organization. When something wrong happens, everyone fights you. The present Speaker of Parliament, Baleka Mbete, told me that, hey, you must never cry in the open, in front of everyone. You must just stand up quietly and go to the bathroom, cry and come back and be strong. She was also the Secretary General of the Women's League, the first Secretary General of the Women's League after the unbanning of the political organizations. And then when something good happens, everyone owns up to that. Sometimes you write reports, you prepare, and they're just thrown out of the window. Those are the things that strengthen you. But also, the issue of 50%, 50-50, we fought for that. And it's in the constitution of the ANC. The issue of the CGE, we fought for the CGE.
Could you expand on the CGE? What does that stand for?
The Commission on Gender Equality. But even before that, women had done a lot of work. The Women's Coalition that marched to the negotiations because women were not represented there. That was great work. And also mobilization of women under difficult circumstances. I know that women leaders used to come to our province, which was very violent at the time, but they were brave enough to come and mobilize us. The formation of the progressive women's movement. Also, there we worked with a number of women, professionals, intellectuals, ordinary women, members of parliament, and we tried to ensure that we have the progressive women's movement, which was going to focus on minimum program, a minimum platform of action, focus on the issues of violence against women and children, because those issues cut across. At the beginning, we thought it would be just the progressives only, but other women's organizations came to say, we want to be part of this movement.
We will be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chakachaka and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights and democracy, a program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Today we're talking to South Africa's Minister of Social Development, Minister Dlamini. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now continuing with our discussion, Minister, you've been involved in a huge transformation, particularly in terms of women's development. Mm. And I'd like to ask you a question that I pose to all of our guests. Every August in South Africa, we celebrate Women's Month. And during that period, we reflect on the years and the progress that women have achieved. Mm. In your opinion, what areas do you think we still need to build on the most to benefit women in the future?
I think as South Africans, the most important thing that we need to learn, women, just women, is that some of the issues touch us all, and we must unite on those issues and then leave those that divide us, and that will help us have a very strong voice and a very strong muscle. And if you don't agree on something, one other thing I believe in is that when we have a conference and there's a woman that is going to be elected, I don't work against that woman. If I don't believe in her, I just shut up, keep quiet, because others believe in her. But also, as time goes on, that woman can learn a lot, because also women learn very fast. I think one other thing that is important is that usually when we fight for gender equality, people think we want to be like men. We don't want to be like men. We want to remain being women, but we want to be equal. We want to remain women. I don't want to be like a man. I don't, but I want each and every man to know that we are equals.
We want to have equal rights, equal yes. opportunities, and not be denied those opportunities.
Absolutely. We want to take our own decisions. People must not think for us. And I think the most important thing is to be able to use one of the gifts that were transferred by our grandmothers, our great leaders to us, being able to interpret everything to a lower level so that it can work. I think that is what kept our families together, who lived under very difficult circumstances. But women have always been able to translate things and make them work for them. I think that we need to keep that and make it work. For me, those are basic things that women have to do in order to move forward. Support is very important. Even if you don't love me, you don't believe in me, when I'm under attack, I need your support.
I think that's a very, very important sentiment and statement on the support.
You see, once you get elected or appointed as a minister, people think you are no longer a human being. And when you've done something wrong, they want to walk on you and destroy you and finish you. And we all make mistakes. Even if you are a leader, you make mistakes. And I want women to, if they can, pick up their phone and say, Batabile, this is wrong, you can't do this. I don't want women that are going to write about me on Facebook or Twitter or WhatsApp. No, I want women that are going to build me. And even if I am no longer in that position, women must continue to build me because I am a human being. And one good thing that I have learned from the ANC, which I have deeply thought about it, the ANC does not throw you away. And that is why I strongly believe in support. You do something wrong, you get your punishment, you get integrated back into the structures, and then if you again perform very well, you are again given an opportunity. And that can also contribute towards a forgiving nation. I think as South Africans are not a forgiving nation. I think it's because of where we come from. And what we should be doing now is to work towards that so that we can live in peace. Not a fight with people every day. And you see those things when you talk to parents. When you talk about the issues of parents chastising children, they fight you straight away because that is how we were grown up.
It's a defensive attitude and
absolutely.
Approach as opposed to looking at what is the positive
absolutely.
Out of it.
Yes.
And I think that's something that comes with maturity and it comes with education. It comes right back to where you were talking about that early childhood development and mm-hmm. how it sustains us, grooms us as individuals mm-hmm. to become mature, capable, mm-hmm. responsible adults mm-hmm. that can think logically.
Mm-hmm.
Minister, we are running out of time. It's been such a pleasure having you here. Can I ask you, in closing, can you share a few words of inspiration that you'd like to pass on to young girls and women in Africa that are listening to our show today?
They must never give up. And if they have a vision, they must try and ensure that no one distracts them from that vision. For me, that is the most important thing. And even if a young woman can have a child, she must not sit down. She must stand up, go back to school so that she can support her child. For me, that's also very, very important. And ensure that you conduct your life properly in the first 21 years of your life, so that after 21 years, everything comes natural. And I want to repeat, if you commit a mistake, it doesn't mean the end of the world. It means challenges, and you must be able to face those challenges and not allow anything to take you away from your life or to take your life away from you.
Thank you, Minister. We'd love to hear more from you in the future, to hear how things have been developing within the Social Development Department.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Womanity, a Woman in Unity, on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, and we have been talking to South Africa's Minister of Social Development, Minister Dlamini.
Tune into the show next week when we talk to South Africa's Minister of Women in the Presidency, Ms. Susan Shabangu.